So, hey, I have no idea if this message will make any sense to anybody today. I feel like God has kind of laid something on my heart to preach on today. But it's cool because I felt a lot of confirmation this morning, even as we were sharing prayer requests. I have never heard... Where'd you go, Jim? Not sitting there. Where did he go? I've never heard Jim Ganshaw talk about secrets before from here during the prayer requests. But I swear he must have said that like 8 or 9 times. Anybody else notice that? How many times he said secret and there's no secrets and Christianity is not a secret religion. So one of the passages, actually the main passage I want to speak on today is the only passage where Paul says he has a secret to share. And so, because normally in the Bible, secrets are a bad thing, but there's one passage where Paul says, I have a secret to share, and it's a good secret. So that's cool that ties in. And with Sue praying for strength to be able to stay focused in a tough situation, that kind of rounds out the passage that we're going to look at today, the way that Christ strengthens us. So that's cool. So if it doesn't make sense to anybody else, at least it'll make sense to Jim and to Sue. So there we go. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your love and for your grace. Father, I thank you for your church and the encouragement that each one of us draws as we gather together to worship and to hear your word and to read your word. Father, I pray that you would bless each one here today. Father, bless us as we serve you in a variety of ways, using our different gifts. And Father, I pray that you would take your word now, Father, and that you would create the fruit that you want in this body. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hey, did you have a nice Christmas? Yeah? You had a nice Christmas. Good. I ask it that way because have you guys ever watched the movie The Christmas Story? Probably most everybody has seen that at least once. Well, that's the exact question that the mom asks Ralphie. She says, so did you have a nice Christmas? Maybe you remember the scene, you know, Randy's asleep on the floor, hanging on to his Zeppelin, and then like there's wrapping paper everywhere, and mom and dad are sitting with Ralphie on the couch after opening all the presents, supposedly all the presents after Christmas. And mom says, so did you have a nice Christmas? And Ralphie says, yeah, pretty nice. And then the dad says, did you get everything you want? And what's Ralphie say? Yeah, pretty much. And then so the dad says, well, that's life. That's life. And, you know, if you've seen the film, you know that it's not quite over at that point. There's more to come. But right there, we kind of hit something. When the dad says, so did you get everything you want? And he says, yeah, pretty much. But really, in his heart, he's thinking, no, I didn't really get exactly everything that I got. What is it that he's missing? He's missing the BB gun. I read on the internet this week that he actually mentions the BB gun 28 different times in that film. So he really has got his heart set on this BB gun. And then so when the dad says, did you get everything you want? I mean, obviously the first thing in his mind is, I didn't get the BB gun. So he says, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It's okay. But we can just feel his disappointment at that time in the movie. And that's an important emotion that they kind of touch on right there, that disappointment right there. Because he didn't exactly get everything that he wanted, at least not yet. And probably there are some of us who are in a similar place today. Maybe it's not so much that you didn't get everything that you wanted for Christmas. Now, some of us maybe. I know that my daughter let me know that she didn't get everything on her list exactly. But she made it really challenging this year because she changed her list, no kidding, like every day. And she kept handing me a new list all the time, and it was different stuff. And I didn't have the heart to tell her, we're all done Christmas shopping. You can put the list away. But so maybe it's not exactly You didn't get everything you want, but maybe Christmas just didn't turn out exactly like you had hoped that it would. Maybe you feel a little bit like Ralphie whenever you say, well, yeah, pretty much. There's a disappointment there, but the word that comes to my mind is discontentment. Discontentment. He's not really fully satisfied. Christmas wasn't all that for him. Discontentment. And maybe it's the same for you. You know, something fell short just a bit. Somewhere in the corner of your heart, you've got a little bit of that discontentment. Maybe you just can't shake it. It's actually kind of hard to get away from discontentment in America. It's actually really hard to get away from it, especially if you watch TV, right? Because on TV, the whole thing with every commercial that you watch, and it seems like there's more and more of them every year. I mean, you can't hardly watch a show without watching like 50 commercials, it seems like. But every commercial's the same. In the end, it's the same because what they're trying to do is create discontentment in your life. That's the number one thing that the commercials capitalize on. It's like they say, your life won't ever be complete unless you have our car or our deodorant or our apple juice or whatever it is that they're trying to sell you. Your life is not right until you get our stuff. And what they kind of sneaky way do is they create some discontentment that will allegedly go away once you purchase their merchandise. Discontentment. They get us there. They make us think, whatever it is, they think mine isn't good enough. It's not new enough. It's not fast enough or cool enough or whatever. I'm not really quite content with what I have. And that commercial reminded me, yeah, mine, I could use a new one. I could use a better one. Maybe I do need to switch brands of apple juice. Yeah, that would make my life better. And honestly, that style of marketing, it's an old, old trick. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, if you think about it. Because really, when Satan comes to Eve in the garden, what he says is, he brings his apple. He's trying to get her to buy it. Brings the apple and he says, when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When you eat it, you will be like God. So in a sense, he's kind of saying, hey, you can eat the apple if you want and be like God, or you can just stay ignorant. And so there's this discontentment that he creates in her heart saying, your life is going to be better after you have this apple. It's a temptation to consume based on discontentment. And you can't get away from that exact same thing in American culture. Discontentment. Something is missing. My life will be better right after fill in the blank. Something. The problem, it goes way, way beyond buying things. I know I've been talking about buying things, but really, it's like a whole culture of discontentment that we live in. And it's really hard not to be shaped by it. I ran across a funny video about this, and I want you to watch it. It'll just take a second. Video on discontentment.
So I pay $5 for a 2-hour movie, and then realize that my flight is only 90 minutes long. I mean, come on!
I think I slept too much.
Honey, the fridge is full.
Babe, my coffee mug is too tall for the Keurig.
What am I supposed to do with my leftover chicken fajitas?
I'm hungry, but I'm not like hungry.
I'm not hungry.
I don't even know if I'm hungry.
It's 11 o'clock and I don't know whether to eat breakfast or lunch.
I think I'm hungry.
I hate watching Blu-rays on this TV. It looks too real.
I'm not even hungry.
My phone is 4G, but we don't have 4G coverage where we live, so it's the worst. This is the worst.
No! Oh! I clicked restart instead of shut down. I have to wait for it to start back up again so I can shut it down.
I hate it. I'm like too healthy. I never get to use any of my sick days.
Closet full of clothes, nothing to wear.
My white noise machine broke last night, and I didn't get any sleep.
There's nothing to watch.
There is nothing to watch.
The bottom of my foot has been itching all day, but it tickles when I scratch it.
I didn't finish brushing my teeth this morning. My battery died halfway through. I hate that.
My hair smells like Starbucks.
My hand smells like Starbucks.
My iPad smells like Starbucks.
That's the worst. I lost it.
Just shoot me.
Just shoot me.
Put me out of my misery. Kill me now.
Just shoot me in the face. Wasn't I just chewing gum? I don't remember spitting it out.
Sleeves.
So I don't know, like maybe you kind of saw a little bit of yourself in there somewhere. I don't know. Some of those things I know I've said before. And what kind of got me in the video is the little segments where they say stuff about, it's the worst. It's the worst. Over some of the most trivial things like, my iPad, it smells like Starbucks. It's the worst. I mean, really, is that the worst? That's funny. But what was the verse that they showed? Philippians 4. Let's turn there this morning. Philippians 4, starting at verse 10. And I want to read this passage to you. Because we've been talking about discontentment. And this is the one where Paul says that he has a secret to share with us. And it's a secret about how to be content. So I'm going to start at verse 10, right? Yeah. I'm going to start at verse 10 and read, I'm going to read about five verses here. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Good of you to share in my troubles. So, this is the one passage where Paul says he kind of has a secret to share with us. Now, it starts here by him saying, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me and all that. What's going on here is, if you remember Paul, now he's a traveling missionary, right? He's an apostle in the early church, and so essentially he's like a missionary. And this church, the Philippian church, they support him financially. They give him money so that he can carry out his ministry. So the Philippians are a supporting church of his. And so he's saying, I'm glad that you have renewed your concern for me. And what he means is, I'm very thankful for the gift that you sent to me, meaning it's going to help me to do my ministry. And he says, indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And what he means is, you know, this is the first century. Paul's not with any, like, mission sending agency or something. Like, you can't send money to the home office and they'll get it to Paul. And you can't email him to even figure out where he's at, because he's traveling all around. So they want to support him, but it's a little more difficult than what we do today and the missionaries we support, like Joe and Brenda, who were just here. So he says, I know you've been concerned, but it's been challenging for you to support me, but I'm glad that you are doing so again. So evidently they've kind of met up, they figured out where he's at, and they've renewed support for him. So he says, I'm thankful for that. And then in verse 11 he says, but I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I'm not saying that I'm thankful for the gift that you gave me because I'm in need, because he says, actually I'm not in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned what it meant to be content. Contentment is something that we can something that we can learn. It doesn't exactly come naturally. In fact, it comes kind of naturally to be discontent. But Paul has learned what it means to be content. He says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's been there in both situations. But he says, I've learned the secret. I've learned what the secret is to being content. And he wants to share it with them. I've learned the secret to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. So, what's the secret? What's the secret to being content? What is it? What do we read here where he says, here's the secret? Yeah, that's the secret to being content. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You guys ever seen that verse before? It's a pretty popular verse. I can do everything. Some verses are a verse. Some versions say all things. I can do all things. That's ESV, I believe. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And that's, in some ways, it's kind of a funny thing to say. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Does it mean that he can leap tall buildings in a single bound? Not exactly. That's not really what he's talking about. Because specifically here in the context, he's saying, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I can make it. I can make it right through there because Christ is my strength. The secret to being content. Like I said, it's pretty rare that Paul would share a secret. In fact, as far as I could tell, this is the only time that he ever really says something like that. And the secret is, I can do all things through him who gives me strength or who strengthens me. And you know, in many ways, this is kind of a lot like Eldon's phrase of saying, it's all good. It's actually really, really similar when he says, I can do everything. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength because it's all good. Because he can use whatever circumstances I find myself in for his own glory, and I can make it through them with his strength. He gives us strength to face the good times and to face the tough times. Yeah, even strength to face the good times. Because I'll tell you the truth, sometimes the tough times are actually more difficult to shine for Christ in than the difficult times. Honestly, that's why Paul says, I know what it is to have plenty or to be in need. It's not just about the meager times, but also in those times of plenty, to be able to rest on Christ's strength and glorify him even in that. And certainly that's where most of us find ourselves in America, having plenty. And we have to rely on Christ, on his strength. To be able to do all things. Because when we don't have real pressing needs sometimes, it seems like we're not reminded to rest on him. And that's why sometimes, even in America, when you got this and that, and you got four different varieties of everything, still there's discontentment there. Because we haven't learned the secret to being content. In the meager times, when we have real honest needs, our dependence on God is sometimes just that much more evident. So regardless, either way, through thick or thin, it's about looking to Christ who strengthens us. Who strengthens us. So what I'm going to look at today briefly is four ways that Christ strengthens his people. That's almost like a tongue twister. Four ways that Christ strengthens his people. I want to look at four different things. Because when I read that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I think to myself, I want that kind of strength. I want that kind of strength to be able to walk in contentment. Whether I have a lot, whether I have a little, I want to find contentment for my soul. So four different ways that Christ strengthens you. I'm going to take a drink of water. My mouth is so dry this morning. I don't know why. So number one, let's turn to 1 Timothy 3:13. 1 Timothy 3:13. All right, so I wrote down the wrong verse. Yeah, no kidding. So I wrote down the wrong one. So I wonder if it's 2 Timothy 3:13 that I'm supposed to be in. No, it's not.
You can do all things through Christ who gives you
strength. Exactly. I can even find the verse I was looking for, I hope. What in the world? I'm just going to have to skip that because I have no idea what I was wanting to write down there. Probably, if I wasn't standing in front of about 150 people, I could find it quickly. But instead, it's difficult staying right here. But the point is this. I'll find the verse for you later. But what Christ does is he strengthens you to live a holy life. To live a life that pleases God. And there's a verse about this. I just can't find it. Actually, there's a lot of verses about this. I bet you're right. That sounds kind of familiar. Wow. That's exactly the one. Who said that? Is it you? 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Rather than 1 Timothy. It says this, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless. God gives you strength to live a holy life, a life that pleases God. I mean, this is kind of basic, but did you know that God's power and strength in your life changes the way that we act? It changes the way we act. Can change our desires, can change our motives, and changes our actions, changes our behaviors. And I'll be honest with you. This is actually one of my favorite doctrines in Scripture, sanctification. One of my very favorites because it is so freeing, not only as a believer, but also as a pastor. It's very freeing as a pastor because my job is not to change any one of you. It's awesome. That's not my job description. As a pastor, my job is to say, trust Christ, love him, obey him, read his word. But God's job in your life is to change you from the inside out. He changes us to live a life that pleases him. He changes us to make us more like his son. He will actually make your life a light to shine in dark places. He can do that. God does that. He strengthens our hearts so that we can live for him. He wants to change us from the inside out. It's cool. That's one of the ways that Christ strengthens us and we can find contentment in how we live because he gives us the strength to live in a way that pleases him. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Here's another one. Hebrews 4:16. I hope this is the right verse. I really do. That would be really fun. Oh boy, That means it's the right one. 4:16. This is in that great passage about Jesus as the great high priest. I got to read a couple verses before it. We'll start at 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So verse 16, so let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. Christ can strengthen you to overcome temptation. He can do that. He can strengthen you to overcome temptation. So number one is he can strengthen you to do things that pleases him. Number two, he can strengthen you to overcome the temptations of the things that are displeasing to him, to overcome sin in your life. If you don't hear anything else from this message today, hear this. God can help you when you are tempted if you look to him and you boldly approach the throne of grace and say, I need help. I need help right now. I'm really, really tempted to say something bad about such and such a person because I know you need to approach the throne of grace. Guys, when your computer calls out to you and says, I have something cool to show you, you can call out to Christ because he can give you strength to overcome temptation. He can do that. To avoid sin, to run from it rather than to fall to it. When we're tempted, we can look to Jesus for power and for strength to avoid temptation. So Christ strengthens us to live a life that pleases him. Christ can strengthen us to overcome temptation. And number three, this one's in James. Christ can strengthen us to make wise decisions. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Jim was talking about how really the Christian life in many ways is pretty simple. And that's a pretty simple verse. Hey, if you don't have the wisdom that you need, ask God, because he gives generously to all. Christ can give you wisdom to help you make wise decisions. Now, this is different from the other ones because there's a lot of situations that we face in life that really are not about a moral right and wrong necessarily. There's a lot of these. It's not a matter of good and evil. It's not a matter of the right decision and the wrong decision. Sometimes it just takes wisdom to make the best choices. A good example of something like this is like where to go to college. Where do you want to go to college? That's not really a right and a wrong decision. There's a lot of good decisions out there of where to go to college. It simply takes wisdom to know which one is going to make the most sense for you. Now, one of the questions to ask in a situation like that is, at what school does God want to glorify himself through you? The answer would be any school, right? Any school that you go to, God wants to glorify himself through you. So then which one makes the most sense for you? Which one is the wise decision based on what you want to do and where you want to live and those kinds of things? So we ask God for the wisdom to make a good choice. And then you make the best decision that you can. So in something like that, is he going to come to you and say, here it is. I need you to go to the University of Illinois. Will he do that? Maybe. Probably not. Probably not. He probably will not come to you in a dream and let you know what school he wants you to go to. That's not always the way that God's will works. Instead, he'll say, I've given you a good mind. I've given you a lot of resources. and I need you to make a wise decision. And we can pray to God and say, help me make wise decisions in this. It's just like if I'm sitting in a test at school and I say, God, give me wisdom. Is the answer A, B, or C? That's not exactly how it works. Again, it's about God gives us a good mind, and you still have to study. He doesn't do your homework for you. But he can strengthen you with wisdom to make good decisions for him. Ask him, you'll see. Number four, last one here. He can strengthen us to know the love of Christ. This is Ephesians 3:16. I got to start at verse 14, though, and read the whole little passage here. He can strengthen us to know the love of Christ. That's a funny kind of a thing to say in some ways, don't you think? Strengthen us to know the love of Christ. But I tell you what, it actually takes spiritual insight to know this, to know the love of Christ. Paul prays for it right here, starting in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Paul prays that you would be strengthened to know Christ's love. Strengthened to know Christ's love. Because it actually takes spiritual insight to understand how high and wide and deep his love is. And for us, as he helps us to understand his amazing love, it actually changes our lives. It really does. It changes us to know about this love of Christ. The strength that you gain in your inner being, as Paul says here, you really can't overestimate this strength. And I'm sure that's a big part of the reason that Paul knew that he could endure any hardship. He could go through any situation, because he'd been strengthened by knowing the love of Christ. He could make it through feast or famine because of God's love. Paul says something about this over here in 1 Timothy. I got to read this passage to you. And this one I'm pretty sure actually is 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 12, chapter 1, verse 12, says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And here it is. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Do you know how abundantly his love has been poured out on you? Paul knew this, and it was important enough to him that he wrote it down right here for us to read. And he says, this is one of the reasons that I can serve him as I do, because I know that his grace was poured out abundantly, and his faith and love. And he had an idea about just how high and wide and deep this love was. Christ can strengthen us to know his love. And when we deepen our understanding of his grace and his love, then we're strengthened for every good work. Because his love has no limit, it has no end, and it endures forever. His love never fails, and his grace is sufficient for every need. And he's given them to you. He's given them to you. And there is no chance of him ever going back on his word. He loves you with the strongest, most enduring love imaginable. And that love is wrapped up in his son. And so, that brings us to the secret, really. His love is wrapped up in his son. And Paul knows that if you have the son, if you have Jesus, then you have everything you need. You've got everything that you need. If you have Jesus, what could you ever fear? If you have Jesus and you know his love, then how could we be discontent? That's the secret. Christ himself is Paul's strength, and he wants to be ours as well. He wants to be the strength of my life. He wants to be the strength of your life. To strengthen us in these different ways, to live a life that pleases God, to overcome temptation, to be able to make wise decisions for him, and to know his love and to live in it. In closing, I just want to read this one passage that I found in Nehemiah this week as I was studying. Nehemiah chapter 9. And I want to read this because it really hit me that for each one of us, this is a picture. This is a picture of you in Christ. It's a passage about God's faithfulness in strengthening his people for the journey that he leads them on. If you remember, before God led his people into the promised land, he took them out into the wilderness for quite a while. And all the reasons for that are kind of that's a story for another sermon, really. But he leads his people through the wilderness, and this is something that's written about that. So this is Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. Nehemiah 9, 19. Oops. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You gave them water for their thirst. And for 40 years you sustained them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. That's a picture of you in Christ. It is. That's a picture of you in Christ. Because what does he say here in this passage? He says, they were never alone. They were guided every day. The pathway was lit before them. They were given of his spirit to teach his ways. They had food for the body. They had water for the soul. They were completely sustained. And though they were in a place without anything, they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. And it's the same for you. It's the same for me. No matter where you are, if you have Christ, you lack nothing. You can be content in him. So for each one of us, if we have Christ, if I have Christ, I lack nothing. And that's the secret to being content. Amen? Amen. There's the secret. Now, we have one here today who has understood these truths, has trusted Christ as her Savior, and feels that Christ is calling her into the next step of obedience, which is baptism. And so Jackie, I want to invite you to come up now. This is Jackie Massa. She's home for Christmas and wants to be baptized today. And so here at Walnut Community Bible Church, the way we do baptism is the pattern we see in the Scripture. I have somewhat of a river over here, or a body of water. And just like when John the Baptist would invite people to come out to the water and and be dunked in the water. Baptism is just a word that means to dunk. So we're going to dunk you in the water. But just in that same way, how they would go out and they would be buried, in a sense. They would die to their old ways and be raised with newness of life. What is it? It's 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So I want to take your confession of faith, and then I'm going to invite you to go back here and change, okay? So would you take my hands and just repeat after me.
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
And I trust Him.
And I trust Him.
As my only hope.
As my only hope.
And my salvation.
And my salvation.
Amen. Amen. Go on back there and get changed.